Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You see, marriage is a thing. It exists. It has been defined. It is something. You no more can say, well, I'm going to make a circle into a square. Try that one out. A whole new world of geometry. Here is a circle, but it is now a square. And you say, well, this is a new form of marriage. It is not. It is impossible because marriage has been defined.
The truth is, you're living in a culture where marriage is under attack. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares his message, Battle for Marriage. He'll explain why our culture is growing more anti-marriage by the day and what you can do to protect yours. Stay with us. The Winning Walk is coming right up. Before we get to today's message, we want to equip you to win the culture war that's raging around you by sending you Dr. Young's 7-message CD series, Culture Clash. This powerful series prepares you to stand strong in God's Word in the face of increasing opposition on so many fronts in today's mixed-up culture. We'll send you a copy of Culture Clash as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Battle for Marriage.
In mythology, there's a story entitled, When the Mouse Ate the Cookie. A mouse knocked on the door of a home. A boy looked out and said, "What do you want?" And the mouse said, "All I want is a cookie." And in this mythological story, the mouse came in, the boy gave him a cookie, and he said, "Do you have some milk?" He went and poured him some milk. He said, "Do you have a straw?" He went and got him a straw. And the mouse said, "I would also like to have a napkin." And he went and got him a napkin. And as the story in mythology goes, finally the mouse had eaten everything in the house and had eaten the house itself. And the boy was in the cold and froze to death. When we become post-Christian America, and we're about that far away from it, post-Christian America will not be enough. All of a sudden, there will have to be an anti-Christian America. Because the mice are everywhere, and they're seeking to redefine everything in our culture. If you will think and look at the major questions we're facing in the moral realm, it all deals with sexuality and how we handle this basic drive that's in every person, sexuality. And in the battle of sexuality, we have pulled out the very front line of that battle, and it's the battle for marriage. Marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, marriage is the foundation upon which all of civilization rests. Let me say that again. Marriage is the basic foundation upon which all civilization rests. Genesis 2, verse 22. Eve was created from the rib of Adam, and that little verse says that God took Eve to Adam. Marriage, first institution, first word, the bottom line, the foundational rock upon which everything else is built. From marriage comes family, comes life, life worth living. Now let me go back and review marriage. We've already looked at Genesis. God says we're to leave, cleave, become one flesh with no shame, right? Naked with no shame. By the way, that naked with no shame, most of us say, well, that means that you're naked. The nakedness there isn't just a physical negative. That's a little bitty thing. The nakedness there is vulnerability. When you get married, when I get married, we are vulnerable to the person to whom we're married, male or female. And in marriage, you have the best training for selfless love you'll ever get. Marriage trains us for selfless love, and that's important. It is in that environment, by the way, that we really see all of our sin. I can explain away my sin. I can rationalize. I can play the game. I can be a phony, and we can go through life semi-hypocritical to people who know us. But in marriage, we see ourselves, and those who do not see themselves and their shortcomings in marriage, that's what it means to be transparent, to be open. Marriage is a mystery, Paul said. It is training in selfless love, and it's understanding the problems, the inequities, the hypocrisy in your life, in my life. It will be exposed. That's what it means to be open and naked with your mate. Now, Jesus talks about marriage. He expounds on the Genesis passage. Look at it in Mark chapter number 10, beginning with verse 6. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. God gave us gender. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother. God gave us marriage. And the two shall become one flesh. God gave us sex. And as they are no longer two, but one flesh, God gave us a new identity. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. God has given us exclusivity. This is all involved in the beautiful, glorious mystery of marriage. Look what God has given us. It is a wonderful thing and is a sacred thing. But what happened to so many marriages? Sometimes it's infidelity. It's adultery, destroys so many marriages. You say, what's the leading problem of the destruction of marriage today? That leads to that deadly thing called divorce. By the way, divorce is suicide. Do you know that? It's suicide. Because when two become one flesh, okay, there's a new person. And when that new person dies through divorce, that is suicide. Let me say there are grounds for divorce. Make no mistake about it. Biblical grounds for divorce. And where there are grounds for divorce in the Bible, there's always grounds for remarriage when there are biblical grounds. But let me say that divorce comes because sometimes of money, sometimes of immorality. Let me tell you something about divorce. We've heard for a long time, well, divorces are 50-50 in divorces. The truth is today, fewer people are getting married. In 1960, 70.2% of the people who were of a marriageable age got married. 1960, 72% plus got married. Today, in the past 5 or 6 years, about 51% of those who are in marriageable age get married. Isn't that interesting? Wonder why that is. So much people are living together and are not married. They're cohabitating together and they're not married. In fact, more children are brought up in homes where the man and the woman are not married than in homes where there is a divorce. The cohabitation has doubled since the turn of the century. And therefore, we look at divorce, it's no longer 50%. Divorce from those who are married from 2000 falling is about two-thirds remain married, one-third get a divorce. Isn't that interesting? And that one-third who get a divorce, we've seen in some polls, well, 50% of them are Christians. But the name Christian, the title Christian, and recently, I don't know what it was, Pew Research or Barner who said it, they said, let's look at that little era. How many divorces take place where the couples worship together? Worship together. Not just the general broad title, I've been baptized, I'm a member of the... Oh, no. Not just the general. How many divorces take place out of that one-third that gets divorced today that are that they worship together? And this new survey said 3%. Did you hear that? 3%. Because if we worship corporately on the weekend, that leads us to believe there's worship privately together sometimes the rest of the week. It is a beautiful word about what it means to worship God regularly and faithfully in His house and in our homes. So interesting. But on the other side of the coin, there's a bill before the legislature in Mexico, and there are some in our government now who are proposing that if marriage is simply a contract, let's start off with a minimum of 2 years. You know, let's write a contract, and it'll be a contract of 2 years. You could have a five-year contract. It could have provisions for renewal. If it's simply a civic matter, let's just sign up for a certain time and see if we want to renew. Some people think, boy, that would be a great idea. So we have a whole new world of marriage. But marriage is a gift of God. It is a sacred thing. And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, when we work at it and we grow and we give the highest priority to the happiness of our mate and our mate gives the highest priority to us, you have a marriage that sings, that works, that is alive, that is holy. Life is sacred. We know that. We're made in the image of God, and the sexual part of life is sacred. We've talked about that. And marriage is the holy part that God has given us as a provision for procreation, a provision for pleasure, and a symbol of the relationship between the Christian and the bridegroom, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful, powerful, basic entity. But marriage is under attack today. It has been redefined. Let me begin by saying, 2013, the all-wise Supreme Court found in the 14th Amendment something that you have to be a legal gymnast to figure out. But when you can read something and you can make it mean anything you want it to mean, in postmodern understanding, they found the provision for gay marriage. Amazing. Amazing. Astounding. And let me say up front, there is no such thing as gay marriage. It doesn't exist. Gay is not a modifier of marriage. You see, marriage is a thing. It exists. It has been defined. It is something. You no more can say, well, I'm going to make a circle into a square. Try that one out. A whole new world of geometry. Here is a circle, but it is now a square. And you say, well, this is a new form of marriage. It is not. It is impossible because marriage has been defined. Let me rush and say once again, as I've already stated, we in the body of Christ accept anybody and everybody. We have adulterers, we have fornicators, we have liars, we have murderers, we have those who are engaged in every kind of immorality in the body of Christ. They are here. All are welcome. We accept anybody and everybody, but acceptance does not mean affirmation. And we do not applaud. We accept. We seek to love and care and listen to every one of us. And we're a whole bunch of people of messed up lives, every single one of us here, with no exceptions. But we have acceptance. And then we see, what kind of acceptance is it? There is a social acceptance. We accept people socially. The Bible teaches this. In biblical days, when you sit down and eat with someone, you were associating with them. Peter was accused of this. Paul got in trouble with this. You sit down, there is social acceptance. And there is legal acceptance. Certainly legally, we would not say, boy, put this person in jail. We have legal acceptance of all people in the body of Christ. But then there's intellectual acceptance. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. So we look and see we cannot intellectually and biblically, because of what the Bible teaches about this lifestyle, there'll be an accommodation there, but there'll be no applause and no affirmation. Why? Intellectually, we know what God has said. Have you noticed something, folks? Just for a way of illustration, have you ever seen anybody seeking to live inspired by the Spirit, by biblical principles as a single or as a married person, by biblical principles, and their life is all messed up? Have you ever heard of that? No, you never will. God's way for marriage and life and sexuality is a way that really, genuinely, always works, always functions properly and beautifully. So then you have intellectual acceptance. No. Social acceptance, yes. Legal acceptance, certainly. Intellectual acceptance, no. Because we have principles by which we go. For example, let's say that you came to me and said, your friend, I accept you legally, accept you socially, and you say, you know, if you put sand in your gas tank, it will really help your car to run. It will be a super thing. Now, intellectually, I don't think this would work. No. I say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, it's a wonderful thing. I put a little sand in my gas tank. My car is running better than it ever has before. I'd say, no, intellectually, I can't agree with that. I can't accept that intellectually. And then you'd say, well, you know, you're welcome to do that. That's your choice. You put sand in your tank if you want to. That's fine. But I have reason to think if you keep on putting sand in the gas tank, you know what will happen? That filter will gradually get clogged, little filter that protects the rest of the motor. And that filter is clogged. As it's getting clogged, you're gas per miles will begin to slow down and your motor will not be functioning. But when it's totally clogged, bang, that car will stop. This is the way it is. We would say to those who are engaging in a lifestyle that's contrary to the principle of God, whatever that lifestyle may be, whatever form of immorality would be, you're putting sand in the gas tank of your life, immorality in the gas tank of your life. It may seem good, it may feel good, it may look good, but eventually your life will be clogged up and you will not function as God Almighty has designed you to function. So this is the way that we have to live. Acceptance, but not affirmation. Love. And then we separate the lifestyle from the life. In other words, we love the sinner, but hate the sin. But in the LGBT lifestyle, they define themselves by what they do. And we would say to anyone in this lifestyle, you're more than that. You're bigger than that. We love you as a person, but we do not approve your lifestyle. It's like putting sand in the gas tank in a period of time. It will destroy your health. It'll destroy your mentality. It'll destroy your acceptance. And you'll be in big trouble in this life and even, of course, with God. I would say that to an adulterer. I'd say that to a liar. I'd say that to anybody. And I would say that we don't need to be identified by what we do. God loves us, and we're to love one another as to the person that we are. And that's so important we make that particular distinction. Now, it's difficult for all of us. We're all sinners. And by the way, these no sins are no worse than my sins or your sin. If my sin is a sin of anger, it may be just as deadly in God's sight or more so than the sins of the flesh. The difference of sexual sins, they take place inside your body, the Bible says. It is an inside kind of thing, whereas other sins are out here. That's the problem with sexual sin, whatever form it may take.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. What are these things? True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute. Dwell on those things. Philippians 4:8. In 2019, scientists went on the deepest ever manned submarine dive. And what did they see on the ocean floor? You guessed it. Garbage. God never intended his beautiful ocean to be used as trash receptacles, yet that's how they're used constantly. The same could be said of you and me. The Bible says we are the temple of God. When you and I take the moral garbage and spiritual corruptions our hearts have littered, rendering God's temple to be a garbage dumpster, listen, we need to watch what we take into our hearts. Our verse can serve as a prayer guide to help us discard the trash and replace it with that which is honorable, right, true, lovely, good reputation. Such a change of focus on what enters our hearts and minds, you know what will happen? It will enable you and enable me to clean up our act.
We hope today's message has encouraged you, and we love to encourage you as you fight in the battle for our culture by sending you Dr. Young's CD series, Culture Clash. The Bible gives you the foundation you need to wisely and lovingly engage a culture that's darkening right before our eyes. This 7-part series will equip you to shine a light for truth in these dark days as you confront the evils in our culture and extend God's love to those who are hurt and broken by sin. So call now to request your copy of Culture Clash as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for tuning in today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Ed Young equips you to stand strong in the fight for biblical marriage.